Welcome one and all to the DC Breezes podcast, Hot Air. This is episode number 5 of 2018. My name is Greg Esser. The season is flying high. The ADL season is in full effect at this point. 4 games in for the Breeze. Last we spoke, they had a 1-1 record. Now it is a 1-2-1 record, so a loss and a tie since last we spoke. A heartbreaker of a loss up in New York on a buzzer beater, and a rare tie in Philadelphia. I'll go through those in much more detail here on the podcast today, but I do not want to delay prefacing my conversation. I am very excited for it with Becca Arbacher. She is a member of the Breeze's Equity Committee in 2018, and I'm very excited to sit down and talk with her. A conversation that is happening the world over, but particularly within Altman, particularly within Washington, D.C., very relevant, the equity, how to get folks on an equal playing field in all their pursuits in life, Ultimate being one of those pursuits and the one we really dig down into today. Of course, it is a large topic, a daunting topic for a 30-minute podcast here by The Breeze, but I really wanted to make sure we had this conversation as much as we can and maybe give you a little bit of a spark to think about it on your own. We chip away just little pieces and talk about what that equity conversation looks like when it is focused around Ultimate and focused around the DC Breeze. So please stay tuned for that. You've already downloaded. That's half the battle. So I think I've got you. Please stay tuned. Talking a little bit more about those games that have occurred, it's been a tough little road stretch. They were both road games, is an important caveat to make. I mentioned the tie in Philadelphia. It ended 18-18, and probably important context to this game is considering where Philadelphia plays, A.A. Gathwaite Stadium, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, in Conshohocken, right outside Philadelphia. There's a word I can pronounce, the Pennsylvania in me, Conshohocken. And it is a grass field, and it is in a public space. So 4 lightning delays occurred during the game, making the terrain difficult at times and then delaying that game, where eventually the Phoenix, basically the timer ran out on the field. They've got it till 10 p.m. That is when the community forces the lights to go out. People can go to bed. And the AUDL game ended up being called a draw. There were many times I've heard throughout the game that it didn't look like they were going to get back on the field. The lightning delay was going a little bit longer than anticipated. And several times the game was very close to being called in one favor or the other. But they kept saying, we can get back out there for another 10 minutes. We can get back out there for another 15 minutes. And they squeezed in as many points as they could and ended up with an 18-18 draw. It was tough conditions to be sure, tough to kind of stay for the players, stay in the zone, come back out, warm up again quickly, get right back into the rhythm of playing. That said, the Breeze roster top to bottom, as well as really the Philly roster, contributed on goals, you know, up and down the rosters. 12 different players scored for the Breeze, 11 different players scored for Philadelphia. The assist picture, a little bit more concentrated. Breeze assists really focused around Matt Carrigan, around Xavier Maxstat, and surprisingly, Delrico Johnson really getting in on the assist picture. A guy that certainly can throw, but a guy that usually is operating more downfield, and maybe that's, again, kind of the Breeze style of shooting out of that initiator role. Troy Holland steps up and has a huge game. Yeah, the conditions are stacked against throwers. There's a lot of turnovers in this game. Breeze facilitates those turnovers by getting a huge 5 blocks. So very exciting there. The crowd dissipates. The rain chases away folks. But I did hear that the crowd that stayed on, so confusing at times as to whether the game would continue, the weather would break or not, boos the Breeze at one point. And the fun anecdote I have from the day is that the boos took the form of this podcast's mantra sound effect that I always use, the Breeze, was actually redone as boo, and I like that story. So unfortunately, the game was not called then. The Breeze did not emerge victorious, and they'll have to settle for the tie, for the draw in Philadelphia. The second game was a loss, and that's cutting to the chase, but there's been a lot of rough weather so far in the season. Certainly, there was a very cold night here in Washington, D.C. that the Breeze played through. I just mentioned the game in Philadelphia. This was the opposite. It was the most beautiful day we've seen this spring. It was in New York City. They've got a new stadium. They filled up the stands for once. I joke often that New York doesn't put a lot of fans in their stands. They managed to do so, and that's great that they're cracking the attendance challenge in New York City, which can be a hard place to navigate around. You don't want to waste an hour and a half of a beautiful Saturday getting to a game. Folks were willing to get to the game, so that's exciting news in New York. But it was a 19-18 game in favor of New York. The picture that I'll paint of New York is around big athletic cutters. They've got guys like Ben Yacht, particularly, that the offense just now flows around. He's used to be kind of a D-line player last year. Now he's over on the O-line getting it done. Guys like Mike Draw scores three. And that doesn't even, the stats don't even fully paint the picture of how downfield stacked this New York team is. If you don't know, there's the story of Jeff Babbitt, who just scores by the bunches, gets blocked by the bunches. But the interesting thing about this game is it looks like the Breeze have really game-planned around Babbitt, and he's been neutralized at this point. He scores one, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But, you know, no blocks and really neutralized. So I did talk to Coach Stanley, and he said, you know, without talking about Babbitt in particular, he says, you know, the one great thing that comes from these two games is we game planned, we stuck to the game plan, we've got buy-in of the guys, and if I then ad-lib on top of that, it looks like part of the game plan is, you know, how to make Jeff Babbitt not a factor, because he's a tough thing to take away, and the Breeze have managed to do that, and so there's some silver lining, some success in that, as the Breeze will match up again with New York in 2018. I would also characterize New York as a team that still kind of has some disconnects on offense. They kind of troubled connecting some of their downfield pieces, chemistry-wise, to their flow in the backfield. So I think that also makes them look vulnerable going forward, maybe silver lining of this game when the Breeze will have a rematch against them in two short weeks. So the story of this game, it's real close. The Breeze have a little bit of a lapse, I'd say, in the third quarter, but Stanley creatively kind of shifts out some of his downfield cutters that are grinding so much. Switches his D-line and O-line a little bit. New York known for their tough D-line. So by bringing some kind of fresher legs, I'll say, from his D-line, the likes of Webster, Holland, Johnson, they see late reps in the fourth quarter, and they make this comeback happen that leaves the game in what looks like it's going to be a tie and go to OT. New York puts up a huck just a couple seconds on the clock. It lands in Babbitt's hand. The only goal he scores all game is this meaningful one to seal the deal. It's a buzzer beater. And that's how the game ends. Some of the stat recap of this game that paints the picture is Rowan continuing his pace of the East, pace of the league in some ways. He gets three assists and five goals. That makes him 13 assists, 15 goals, and six blocks on the season, which still just look like stellar numbers. I will say that Rowan threw it away four times. And that joined Maxstat's four throwaways as well. So those are the numbers that obviously need to be limited. There was a return a little bit to form by Lloyd Blake, who'd been looking a little bit rocky in this early season with his throwaways. But he does a lot better here, four assists and only one turn on 22 completions. I've been waiting for the Max Castle train to start in 2018. And I think that was a really good sign up in New York as well. Two assists, three goals, but importantly, especially given kind of those spike turnovers I just mentioned, no turnovers for Max Castle. So if he can kind of get into that flow, everyone can start making the decisions they're more comfortable with. Hopefully everyone's turnovers kind of start dwindling to some degree. So even though the Breeze now sit at 1-2-1, I think there is an interesting sense about the team in terms of the influx of talent the Breeze are going to acquire in 2018 in the middle of the season. A lot of other teams, you see them, yeah, celebrate the return of the college guys. That's not always the case with DC squads because, yeah, there's good college players around, but there aren't really many good college programs, I'll say. That took a turn this year. I challenged that perception this year because Georgetown, Maryland, and William & Mary all made nationals. And there are players from all those squads on the Breeze. It'll be interesting. Fresh legs, high athleticism guys, Christian Boxley, Alex Liu, John Walden are needed. It'll be important these next couple games. How deep will the hole be when the college recruits get here? This upcoming weekend, Saturday, May 12th, 6:30 p.m., it's a home game. It's against the Raleigh Flyers, one of the best teams in the league, certainly in the top five in the league, I would guess. The following weekend, it's an away game. It's a double away game. Two big ones. May 19th followed by May 20th on the road in Canada against the Rush, then the Royale. So And then the week beyond that, New York's going to come to D.C. So the next 3 weeks, very important games, and all those college mentions I just made, those great college players that are taking their teams to great success here in D.C. are not yet on board yet. So come to that game. It'll be an exciting one, but the Breeze, I think, certainly have their work cut out for them against Raleigh on the 12th. Last piece I want to mention here up front doesn't really have to do with any of the games that have occurred so far, but I do like watching career stats for the Breeze. And largely, there's been enough turnover Breeze year to year that these numbers have not always been challenged. But there will be one, I imagine, that's going to get broken here in 2018, and there are two players that could do it. John Pressamone, 4-year Breeze player, currently holds the record for most goals ever in a Breeze uniform, 83 goals over his career, a stellar number. But Jeff Wodach, sneaking up on it, 9 goals in this season, and he's up to 81 career goals. Matt Kerrigan has 4 this year, and now he's sitting at 77. So what's that? Quick math. 6 goals for Kerrigan will tie with Pressamone, 7 to pass, and just 2 goals for Jeff Wodach, 3 will pass and make Wodach the career goal leader in the Breeze Subtle Stars. So exciting things there. That is a lot from me up front, longer than I usually do, and I will get over to the main event, Becca Arbacher and my interview with her, our conversation. Let's quickly go through the sponsors: Papa John's Pizza, Spectrum Management, Port City Brewing Company, Oak Creek Apparel, Murphy's Grill, American Ultimate Academy, Universe Point Cleats, and Cobalt CRM Solutions. Very happy to have you all on board this year, making the Breeze our mission, our games, the whole package, the podcast possible. Many thanks to all of those folks. I also want to give a shout out to our nonprofit partners. We've got 3 of them in 2018. Spirit of the Sport. It is a nonprofit built to provide opportunities for underprivileged kids throughout the region to learn and play Ultimate. You've got the American Equity Invite. I'll talk about it a little bit with Becca on this, but there's a youth tournament out in Virginia on June 2nd and 3rd. The Breeze are the official championship field sponsors, so they'll be out in full effect. The players will be out in full effect. I might make a run by as well. Very excited for that Equity Invite. ForestPlanet.org. The Breeze have teamed up with them to plant a tree for every paid ticket throughout 2018. So all those things, keep them in mind. You see them out there, throw them a shout out or your support, because they have supported the Breeze here. That is all from me. You might be tired of my voice, but I'm about to get augmented here by Becca. Let's play us in Brook Royals. Today I have the pleasure of sitting down with Becca Arbacher. She's taking a break from catching throws like a pandemic, showing off her grittier side on the ultimate field. She's waxing poetic with me. We've got all the abstract to talk about today, and on the agenda is equity. It's a big topic. It's been lapping at the shores of the ultimate world for years, and now it's kind of reached more of a wave that is hitting
whale,
our shores.
Whale, I see what you did there.
Now we're the Breeze as an organization has stood up an equity committee, and our views today aren't necessarily indicative of all the folks sitting on that group, that board. They're not necessarily indicative of the Breeze as a whole. Certainly, as my thoughts on this podcast always are my own thoughts. Becca's are her own. So yeah, we're taking this opportunity. We've got the platform of a podcast to talk about this. And I think the truest way to respond to this would be have a conversation with us. The DCBreeze.com, the equity committee has a
equity at the DCBreeze.com.
A Twitter account as well. I've got one, the Greg Esser. So find us in those places, but let's at least start the conversation today. Becca, tell me how you first found the equity committee.
So I will fully admit that I was not completely keyed into the politics of the Breeze and their relationship with the community, what they had or had not done for equity before moving to the area in 2016. I captained DC Grit, which is a local women's team, and when the Equity Committee was forming, a couple of the players who I think felt very strongly about being a part of the committee reached out to see if, you know, Captain of Grit, been around for a little while now.
Yeah, these are the Marcus Thals and Matt Kerrigans of the world.
Yeah. Both of them specifically.
Yeah.
To see if I wanted to be a part of the committee. And I told Kerrigan that, first of all, that I didn't want this committee to turn into a tokenizing effort, you know, just kind of a facade to make everything seem better. And I was comforted by how passionate he and some of the other players and what I got from the Breeze leadership, that while no one was really certain what the best path forward to achieve equity, if that was even achievable at this point in time, what that looked like, that people were very passionate about moving down the right path. And while I did not have a strong sense of the specific goals that I wanted accomplished in a concrete amount of time, I wasn't coming into this saying, we need a pro mixed league or a pro women's league. I wanted to have a seat at the table and be a part of the conversation and try to advance issues that I care a lot about in as many creative ways as possible.
And I think that that's an interesting thing to hear you say, because I think it is similar to my worldview in some ways of this, you know, to impact a change in something, of being involved to make that change happen. So that's much appreciated that that's how you ended up on that equity committee, and that's why you sit at my table today. But you alluded to, I think, a really challenging thing, which is, you know, there are so many different ideas out there about how to go about this mission, and maybe even what the mission is. So start there for me. Should we read the equity committee has put out at this point? And I can read it. I can turn around my screen here if you want to read it. What's the best way to go about this?
Yeah, sure. Go for it. You can.
So
your best radio announcer voice.
This is why I'm here. All right, here we go. So it's the Equity Vision, the Breeze Equity Vision. The DC Breeze is dedicated to establishing new pathways to foster and promote equity within the organization and for the wider community through a proactive commitment of resources, promotion, and access. The DC Breeze seeks to grow and build partnerships to support ongoing efforts that emphasize a collective, inclusive vision for equity.
So I think there are some key parts of that statement that have come up a lot in committee conversations that we really, really prioritize. I think the word pathways is one really key one. The idea is not just to, you know, plaster a bunch of women on posters and call it a day. The idea is to create sustainable growth and ways for girls and women to enter and stay in the sport. There are a lot of equity issues facing women in the community at large. This is not just an ultimate issue, and sometimes it can be difficult to distill societal equity issues from ultimate equity issues. And I don't think, this might be slightly controversial, I don't think it's fair to ask ultimate to immediately correct systemic inequities that have been present in society for centuries. I think the ultimate community really needs to be aware of those and takes immediate steps to try to correct them, but we can't pretend that they don't exist.
Yeah, to keep taking that kind of pathways metaphor, though, it's interesting, you know, if society is this dense forest, then ultimate is the pathways through it that will eventually break it down and make it more accessible. If ultimate is this dense forest, then the equity committee and hopefully, you know, a partnership with pro leagues or within the pro leagues are the pathways that are through the forest to eventually make it more accessible. I like that.
I mean, a pro league for women, not just an ultimate in any sport, is going to look very different when there are a fraction of women starting at the age of 5, starting at the age of 10, continuing to the age of 15. I mean, I played soccer and softball all through high school, and I played on boys' teams for a lot of years just because there were more available.
Yeah.
Creating a professional league for women isn't going to be as robust if you don't have as many women starting ultimate or starting sports from a very young age.
Yeah, so again, it's kind of there's a grassroots thing that's either societal or otherwise of building the opportunities for women.
Absolutely. And telling women that it's, or telling girls that it's cool to play sports, it's okay to play sports, they can hang with the guys. And, you know, women's ultimate open ultimate and mixed ultimate, it's not a, like a clear hierarchy of, oh, the boys are always better. They're very different games. And I think that ultimate is at a point in its development where we can appreciate and elevate and encourage growth across all three different games.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, we need a robust, strong community of girls and women who play sports.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to even talk about, like, ultimate building these you know, shades of the same sport in different fashions. My mother comes from a pretty serious lacrosse playing background, and those two, the men's and women's game, have evolved very differently. Now the on-field products almost look differently. So
Fun fact, I grew up in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Yes.
Lacrosse is the state sport of Maryland, whereas the state pastime is jousting. So there you go. Lacrosse and jousting.
Okay, good. Well, so yeah, I'll see you out there on the jousting pitch. What do you call it? Okay. So it's interesting to think of Ultimate kind of having this conscious effort through an equity committee of developing these multiple games in unison. And then I think an important piece that, you know, it's so easy to go down talking, you know, because you want to talk concretely about equity, and we've taken a very gender path even in that last conversation, but it is so much broader than that as well. Which, and I think this motto gets to that, which is, you know, there's no mention of women or otherwise. This is... you know, the wider community is addressed here and emphasize a collection of inclusive vision for equity. You know, that's everybody.
And I think that's a conversation that's happened within WAFSE, within other parts of the DC Ultimate community for a while now. We have a wonderfully supportive, welcoming, robust Ultimate community here, which I'm very grateful to be a part of. It is an unfortunate fact that the racial and socioeconomic makeup of that community does not reflect the city that we live in.
Yeah.
And I think that, part of equity is not just focusing on the gender aspect, but trying to find as many ways as possible to leverage the Breeze's resources, whether that's money, time, player time, publicity, etc., to help remedy some of those deep-seated inequities.
Yeah, so I mean, so you're speaking of all these choices that need to occur, right? So there are so many different types of equity. And then even within those types of equity, there are so many different opinions on how to combat them all. So we've gotten this very broad definition of equity, but I think it was, you know, labor intensive to even create that. And here's our toehold to start. But then the next question down is, so with all these diverse ways that are being suggested, it's got to look like this. It should look, you know, it's got to be going into high schools and looking for socioeconomic. It's got to be going into, you know, youth women's leagues and doing this. It's got to be going into a pro league and providing opportunities for women. Those are all very different paths within this. So how does the equity committee look across and get input and delineate all those different options? And then more so, how do you prioritize? This is a, I mean, maybe if we could truly answer this, we would not be sitting here.
Yeah, I'd have a book deal. So I think that, again, one of the things that was encouraging to me about the Equity Committee is that this wasn't the Breeze leadership dictating from on high the, you know, key actions that the Breeze is going to take to fix equity in DC. This was an opportunity to bring different people together with different backgrounds and different priorities to hash as much of this out as possible. And I do think one thing that happens a bit behind the scenes that can be easy to lose sight of is that we have a lot of really, really passionate, principled people, both on the equity committee, you know, in the ultimate community at large. But there are finite resources, and I think that our challenge has been to take a look at what resources are actually available and to prioritize concrete actions and incremental steps that will actually have an impact.
So you think that's what really drives the equity committee forward? That is what gets individual members behind it, is, you know, how it can be expressed to the group as a concrete action that can be taken? You think that's a big character in what you guys are... What's winning favor?
I do think that one of the benefits of having a bunch of people together who have somewhat different priorities is that people are able to advocate for and work toward the things that are important for them personally.
Yeah.
I mean, not like the individual things that benefit them, but what they decide are priorities.
Mm.
One of the benefits of having people on the committee with differing priorities, but a similar sort of overall goal and value set.
Well, and that you've collaborated and created, standardized your goal, yeah.
Right. Is that we're able to break down the different, projects and opportunities that are in front of us and sort of distribute those among people who want to prioritize that individual thing.
Yeah.
We've had people who their focus is really on getting women out on a field in a professional capacity, choose to focus on projects that could facilitate that in the future. We've had people who their priority very much resides in improving relations between men's and women's college teams, instantiate a college equity forum, which actually I think happened a couple weeks back at Catholic and was held pretty successful.
At risk of sidetracking us here a little bit, talk to me about a little bit what happened there.
So actually it was a pretty incredible, event to be a part of, and I was really glad to get to be there. So this was really the brainchild of Genevieve Leo, who sort of made this happen out of nowhere. But she, after some cross wires with Georgetown Catholic and a couple women's teams in trying to organize a separate event, it became apparent to her, and sort of she conveyed to the committee, that there was a disconnect, first of all, between a lot of college men's and women's teams about how difficult it can be to be a woman in sports, mm-hmm. and also between the Breeze and the college community about what the Breeze is doing and can provide and their relationship to Ultimate. And so Genevieve and sort of the rest of us following in her footsteps put together this College Equity Forum, which brought together teams from men's and women members from the men's and women's teams of GW, of American, of Catholic, of Georgetown, and put everyone together in a room. We had some group discussions, we had some breakout sessions where we interspersed different genders, different teams, had a lot of women share experiences, which, every woman in the room, raised their hand, had experienced that they felt responsible for their gender, that if they dropped the disc and mixed, they're like, oh crap, now no one's ever going to throw to a girl ever again. And speaking as a woman here, we're so used to these conversations and these experiences and talking to each other about them, that frankly, it didn't occur to me, and it doesn't occur to, I think, a lot of women in the room, that this was new stuff for a lot of the guys.
Yeah.
And I think it was useful just to have those conversations, And this was basically, we had some guiding questions, and we sent a bunch of college kids off in a circle to talk to each other.
Sure.
And it was a...
No, that sounds like a great event, and good to, even if there are folks that are hearing them for the second or third time, to feel that there is a community in that, and also there people are dense, and at risk of throwing a gender under the bus, men can be dense, and hearing that again and again is important, I think.
Well, I will also add, I neglected to mention that a handful of Breeze players also came to
the
event.
Sure, well, a handful of Breeze players fit both those buckets, right? There's a lot of, it's been a year of turnover, and there's a lot of young guys on the squad.
And so I think that it really was a unique opportunity to see Breeze players as professional athletes and like leaders in your community, the way you look at professional athletes.
Sure.
And also as reminders to the Breeze players that they're given that platform, and while they are the same age as a lot of these college players, they're treated as professionals.
Sure.
And so I think, having a lot of them sharing their experiences, listening to like college women talking about how difficult it is not to have professional role models, I think it was eye-opening for a lot of people, and I was really glad, the guys showed up.
Yeah, sounds like a great event.
Snaps for Leo.
Yeah. So talk to me then, going forward. I think there's a lot more kind of in the pipeline for this year. Certainly, I've been at least peripherally aware of some of the conversations of the equity committee. What is the hot button topics, and what is the rest of 2018 look like for the rest of the Breeze season?
So I think there are several different prongs that mirror kind of what you said about there being a lot of different facets to the equity issue. Upcoming on June 3rd, we're really excited about a mixed opportunity against Pittsburgh. They'll be fielding a team called Supercell, which is a combination will be a combination of their Thunderbirds players and women from their community. The Breeze will be fielding a mixed team to be a part of this game, and I think it'll be really exciting, not only to have women step out on a field in a professional capacity, but also to see the potential of what pro mixed ultimate could look like. I think that, as you mentioned, there are a lot of different ideas about what the future of professional ultimate looks like. And at least my personal opinion is the more information we can gather, the more data we can get about what these options look like.
Sure.
The better off we're going to be.
So what else is on tap? So there's a mixed opportunity in Pittsburgh. There's I think there's booths set up at all the home games for DC for at least to continue the dialogue, get more input.
Yeah, if you're not sick of listening to me talk after this podcast, come to the Breeze home games. Talk to me there.
This will be the alarm on my phone.
We also have, stay on the lookout for more events similar to the College Equity Fora, geared more toward the community at large. We want to bridge some of the club WOFSI gaps.
Yeah.
We want to rebuild some of the community connection to the Breeze.
Sure.
And then the Breeze is also helping to support the American Equity Invite, which is a really, really incredible event that really came to fruition of the hard work of the girls from HB Woodlawn, local high school.
In Virginia, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so they've really taken the equity issue head on after some controversy last year about press coverage at, or lack thereof, at one of their tournaments. And so they put together a really competitive high school girls ultimate tournament called the American Equity Invite. Go look it up, show up, support them.
Nice.
It's bringing together some of the top high school girls and girls teams in the country, and the Breeze will be partnering to help make that happen.
Nice. And I think I'd be remiss here, I don't know if it falls squarely into the equity committee, but the Breeze's partnership with American Ultimate Academy is also equity forward in terms of partnering with local high schools and lots of clinics around the area, seeing young kids of what was it cost to get a piece of plastic into someone's hands? Like, this is what American Ultimate Academy is doing, and that as part of the Breeze mission, and I think it fits nicely with that equity mission.
And I also think it's important to point out that, none of the changes that we all want to happen are going to happen overnight. And the Breeze doesn't want to, and I don't want the Breeze to sort of blindly move forward with whatever they decide is best. And so this committee really is an opportunity for the community to decide what they think is important, what their priorities are. So like, there are a bunch of us sitting around a table talking, but we also really would love to hear from, people in the DC community about concrete actions that they want the Breeze to take or what they think is important to elevate and support women's voices, women's play. Email equity@thedcbreeze.com.
Yeah.
I keep very good track of the email inbox, so,
Fearless plugs, I like it. So there's something interesting here, too, which is to say, we mentioned that kind of societal piece earlier. And as we are presented with a unique opportunity to talk to equity, to brainstorm equity things, to use this as a laboratory in some ways of equity, that when you come home from your day job and you are beaten down because you are doing, processing widgets that is repetitive, when you are completing your class at university that is truly tried and true material that has been repeated by a professor over and over, there is something cutting edge to this that, let's see what it looks like to bring out a big audience for a mixed game. Yeah, let's see what it looks like to engage folks of every walk of life about what their opportunities have been. So my encouragement to folks that may feel that something in their life is not fresh and new and exploring, because I think that's what Ultimate and what the Breeze and what the Equity Committee have an opportunity of doing here. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think
no idea is shot down.
I think the success of the Equity Forum was really kind of a bellwether to me. I sometimes, roll my eyes at platitudes like, you can do anything if you set your mind to it. But in a lot of equity issues, the important thing is to start a conversation. And I know that sounds really cheesy, and a lot of women and other minorities are kind of tired of hearing that. And I've spent a long time talking with other women about some of these issues that we have that you know, are the same for a lot of women, it's really easy to forget how oblivious a lot of people outside of, you know, that specific identity can be, just because they haven't, you know, lived it, they haven't talked to someone about it, you know, it doesn't occur to ask.
Yeah.
So, again, this college equity forum really just came out of Genevieve pushing for it, and I was really pretty impressed with how it all came together, how engaged everyone was. And this was, you know, one evening for 2.5 hours in a classroom.
Sure.
And so if we can come up with more creative ideas and, you know, this is how you reach the wider community.
So that was a good conversation, and I'm really glad that you came on the podcast to have it with me, Becca. We're going to loosen it up for the last minute, hopefully get some more laughs out of it. I'm going to play the old favorite. I don't know if it's the favorite. Maybe people are tired of this. Hot Air Classic, Over Underrated. I'm going to give you some nouns, and we're gonna let loose a little bit. It's about Ultimate. It's about pop culture, and we're going to make you tell me.
That pop culture, I probably haven't heard of it.
We're going to make you tell me. We'll edit out the pop culture, the beauty of a podcast. And whether it's under or overrated, which of course requires this meta game of being able to assess how it is rated to begin with. So here we go. First one, pool plays. Over underrated.
So I'd say underrated. I'm a huge devotee of pool plays.
Really? Why? What do you think they bring to the table?
So my value as an Ultimate player has pretty much exclusively been that I am fast. So a lot of our pull plays for the last couple years have been various handlers hucking to me in the end zone in various forms. So I don't care what's happening among them. As long as they get to me in the end zone, then I'm
but
happy.
But creatively, you could go to the end zone quickly at any point.
Yeah, but then they don't know they're supposed to throw to me.
Oh, okay. All right, next up. So I don't know if you know this deep connection as much as I do. The newspaper where you attended undergrad at Columbia University has the same name as the newspaper where I attended undergrad at Hamilton College.
Oh, you went to Hamilton. Cool.
Because the original board of trustees at Hamilton College was a student of Columbia University, Alexander Hamilton, who founded the Spectator newspaper in both locations. Based on this connection, over underrated, hot right now in the public ether, Alexander Hamilton.
Ugh. Oh, man. So, I have a total cop-out answer for this, because I was a fan of Alexander Hamilton before it was cool.
As was I. I went to Hamilton College.
My graduation pictures were taken at the Alexander Hamilton statue outside Hamilton Hall. and I have
spent... So, has the hype caught up to the Alexander Hamilton that you already idolized?
I think once people start reading more Supreme Court... Supreme Court opinions, then we'll be okay.
Other recommendation coming out of today's podcast. Attend some equity events and read Alexander Hamilton. Has the hype caught up? Over underrated?
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to hold you
didn't
to
actually
it.
Answer the question.
You didn't answer the question. I'm holding you to it.
I think the hype has caught up, but I hope it stays.
Okay. So that's...
Rated. It's
no,
rated.
I don't. I as a rule, I don't accept rated as an answer.
Okay, saying underrated.
Underrated, still underrated. There's more to Alexander Hamilton.
We've got the incredible music. We've got the pomade wigs.
Every now and then, when you are playing Ultimate, every now and then, or I don't know how frequent it is for you. You may go off grass and play on some fancy DC high school field on turf. Is it over or underrated to get onto a turf field?
Oh my god, so overrated.
What don't you like about turf?
One, hot during the summer. Two, turf burn discourages bids or encourages poor form in bids.
Sure.
Three, I haven't read enough to actually confirm this, but I read a study somewhat recently that women are actually more likely to tear their ACLs on turf than on other fields.
Oh man.
Given that given that I am 7.5 months out of ACL meniscus surgery, yes, this is a near and dear issue.
Did you tear it on turf?
No, this one was actually on grass.
Okay. So, turf, overrated. I know that you've done a little bit of work for NASA in your life. Over underrated, manned mission to Mars.
Oh, man. Okay, you're like right playing into my hands here. So, this is a bit of a long-winded answer. Totally overrated. Well, if it gets NASA funding, I don't care.
If Matt Damon is starring.
But beyond that, my mom loves telling a story about I was...
This sounds like it's going to be long-winded.
I was absolute nerd when I was a child. Well, still am. But then I grew up in the area, and the Air and Space Museum hosts a National Mars Day every year. I was, you know, 6 or 7, you know, at Mars Day, playing with the rovers in the sandbox, and a Voice of America radio announcer made the mistake of coming to ask me what I thought of Mars Day. They thought it was going to be this cute little kid interview. Great, wonderful, happy day. Instead, I went on a 20-minute rant about why NASA should be funding missions to Europa instead of Mars.
Sure.
So, long story short, manned space travel, I think, is an incredible priority for, you know, reestablishing people's awe in science in outer space. But if we're actually looking for water and evidence of other types of life, Europa is where it's at.
The moon of Jupiter. It's a deep track for some. So our last one of over underrated is going to be the sport of swimming. Maybe as cross training for ultimate, maybe in the ether. How do you feel about competitive sport swimming?
I'll say it's underrated, particularly because I'm terrible at it. but actually, the area I grew up in had a really competitive swimming environment. I mean, Katie Ledecky, you know, Mike Phelps came
from. Sure, you're from the greater D.C. area.
you know, incredible workout, you know, very good for your body. I've had to do a lot of swimming with ACL recovery. Wish I were better at it. But, yeah, so I'll go with underrated.
Underrated. All right, great way to get back in shape from some injuries.
Also really nice abs. No, doesn't hurt.
Great abs, under overrated. All right, perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and thanks everyone for listening. Again, it's a hard conversation, but it's one that we want to have and we want to be on the forefront of. I mean, I think this is an area to be creative, and nothing goes down without at least serious consideration and thought.
Third time's the charm. Equity at thedcbreeze.com. Let us know what you think.
Thanks again for listening, and adios.